Hello, 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 all my amazing people. It's your girl Joy Has Questions coming to you again on this amazing Sunday afternoon. I hope everyone is having an amazing time, thotting and bopping, wherever you are, enjoying life and living it to the fullest. You already know how we do, so let me jump right into You Better Know. So Google did this earlier this week. You know how they do their little doodles or whatnot. And they put me on game, which is I had never heard of Octavia E. Butler. This was an African-American science fiction writer. So this is super dope for me because when I think of science fiction genre, unfortunately, we never attribute that to African-Americans or just like anything else. I don't really see too many anime based on African-Americans or the African diaspora or anything of a science fiction nature. So to see her be one of the most celebrated writers in the science fiction or fantasy genre was just amazing. Had no idea what the Hugo or Nebula Awards were, or the fact that she was the first science fiction writer to receive a MacArthur Fellowship, which we all know is one of the most coveted fellowships in the world. So, jumping right into it, she was born June 22nd, 1947 in Pasadena, California. She was raised by her widowed mom. Pretty much her father died shortly after birth. She went to community college during the Black Power Movement. So you can already see, like, this is a very pivotal time in history. And she's deciding, like, where she wants to be on it. She also was encouraged to attend the Clarion Workshop, which focused on science fiction. Basically, when it comes to how she got her rise to success, she enrolled into California State University, but then switched to UCLA. Like, come on with the options. Just like, oh, I'm casually going to go from California State to UCLA. She basically was a part of the Screenwriters Guild of America. It was a workshop that they did, which was designed to help mentor minority writers. And her writing impressed noted science fiction writer Harlan Ellison, who encouraged her to attend the six-week Clarion Science Fiction Workshop in Pennsylvania. All of these words just basically mean reach back and help others, because if it had not been for this already esteemed Black writer who looked at her and was just like, you know what? I think you're fucking dope. You need to do this. She may not have even taken on that role. Here's the key point I want everyone to realize. While she was working on different novels, she had temporary jobs to help her live on writing. So for everyone who wants to just, you know, sometimes be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to stop everything I'm doing and focus on this one aspect of my career and hope that maybe somebody pop and sees me and puts me on. That's not how it always necessarily works. Sometimes you have to work shit that you may not even care for so you can have the opportunity to fund and really do what you are truly passionate about. So basically in 1994, her body of work, Speech Sounds, won the Hugo Award, and then her later on, the next year, Bloodchild won it again, as well as the Locust Award. Now, these awards that might to some sound really weird, but the Hugo Award pretty much is a set of literary awards given for the best science fiction or fantasy works the previous year. When she really was able to crack gold was when The Parable of the Talents won Science Fiction Writers of America's Nebula Award for Best Science Fiction Novel. The reason why that is so amazing is because the Nebula Awards recognizes the best science fiction or fantasy published in the United States. So she was beating out everyone. So everyone was going, oh, Game of Thrones is epic. Shout out to Game of Thrones. But no, sis, she was coming for heads that year. Also, when it comes to her, she was also awarded the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation Fellowship, which came with a prize of $295,000. I'm just going to end this with a quote that she said, which is why I'm like, oh, you are a real one. I would have loved to have met you. Who am I? I am a 47-year-old writer who can remember being a 10-year-old writer and who expects someday to be an 80-year-old writer. I am also comfortably antisocial, a hermit, a pessimist if I am not careful, a feminist, a Black, a former Baptist, an oil and water combination of ambition, laziness, insecurity, certainty, and drive. This was a woman who knew who the fuck she was and who was sure of herself, and I respect the hell out of her. Unfortunately, this queen did not live to be an 80-year-old writer. She died in 2006, February 24th, to be exact, at the age of 58. But when I tell you, this is a woman that literally marched to the beat of her own drum and just put out amazing bodies of work that now I will be adding to my collection, as you should be as well. She is someone definitely worth celebrating. So shout out, queen. I hope you are writing about all of the things that are in your heart and to your heart's desire in heaven. And now we are ready to move on to the trashy ass part of my show, which is So According to IG. I am super excited to have my guest for this episode of Joy Has Questions. This young lady is someone who I've known for a long time. Were we not Beasley Bees together?
Beasley Bees, absolutely.
God, those green and yellow jumpsuits from hell. Okay. So definitely have just watched her grow up into, let me not talk like I'm your like cool auntie. Right. I remember her growing up. No, but.
She really grew into her forehead.
Girl, I'm still trying to grow into mine. So if you did, congratulations. But no, to watch this woman, like, I always make the joke, like, I'm ratchet, sophisticated ratchet, I'm kind of trash. So I'm like, so to see someone keep themselves together in such a great way, I am very happy to have Nicole Johnson here. So without further ado, the reason why she is so amazing, this young woman is running for alderman of the 20th Ward. Her love and pride of her community, Inglewood, rivals mine at the low end. I'm like, girl, we can do this all day. Give out our cross streets. So I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yay. And I promise I will not. I am toning down the ratchet just because of how great this moment is.
Okay, girl.
Okay. So we're just going to start with So According to IG. So, black girls trying to be entrepreneurs. I remember when, like, the little black girl who was on, like, Shark Tank, she had her B-Sweet lemonade that got picked up by Whole Foods. I remember when Moe's Bowes, that little boy who now is, like, a multimillionaire, has a deal with the NBA, you know, to help dress players in, you know, a very elegant manner. This little girl in San Francisco, I'm not going to say her name, not because I'm trying to put her out there, but because I'm like, she's the one that needs protection. Like, not Allison Edel. But this young lady was selling water on a hot day, doing a logical thing for $2, found out that she was doing it because she wanted to basically get tickets to Disneyland. I don't even know how this woman got there, but the woman literally tried to call the police on this little girl for selling water. When it comes to these situations anymore, like, we already know the time that we live in, the president clearly, or the state of politics have emboldened racists to be like, whoo, absolutely. I've been waiting to put my Letterman jacket back on. Let's go, KKK bait. Like, I'm sitting there like, are you serious right now? Right. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, I'm kind of done talking about, like, how do you feel? Like, what do we need to do? Because at this point, I'm done.
Yeah, I actually yesterday I made this status on Facebook about how being black in America, let alone Chicago, is a very stressful experience. There's data that shows they give out sanctions and tickets for black people riding their bikes and other types of moving violations, quote unquote, in black and brown communities more so than other parts of the city. So there's just this, there's an attack on black people across the diaspora. We see it here every day. It's very painful. And so in this particular context, this yet again is an attack on our opportunity to be economically empowered and also give our children the opportunity to just do what other white kids have the opportunity to do.
How many lemonade stands are currently on somebody's neighborhood yard in Winnetka or Bolingbrook or anywhere
Hoffman
else in
Estates,
the city?
Arlington Heights, all of that. And so this just continues to affirm that idea that our kids aren't allowed to be human and fully express ourselves and do what is part of this American dream, right? This little girl was doing, like you said, the logical thing to make money. She saw a need. That's what entrepreneurs do. They see a need and then they fill it. She had the resources to do so. And just overall, our kids aren't allowed to be kids. Mm-mm. She was an adult, right? Mm-hmm. No, she wasn't. She was an 8-year-old little girl just trying to make a coin. And here we have this lady who wasn't allowing her to do so.
I looked at the situation, and that to me just shows, like, we all know how dangerous entitlement is. We see what happens with white entitlement, like the type of world or the construct now that we have to deal with. But for somebody to literally sit here and have a dispensary, because I did my little, you know, research into her finances or what's been coming out about her. We know that it's not been fully legalized. In fact, if anything, Sessions is now trying to come back and like put more criminalized or make it a crime. I don't even know how to say it correctly, but basically make it where you can possibly get more time.
Yeah.
For these nonviolent offenses, you know. So to see on one end something that fundamentally annoys me, because I'm like, so what happens to everyone who was selling nickel and dime bags in the 90s and then had to go up, you know, the creek without a paddle? But now people like Allison Edel or people in Colorado, literally the buy-in for dispensaries is so high right now, you can't even do it if you wanted to. Like, this is a brand new day.
Yep.
And so to see her, who's already benefiting from now, like, the softening of laws, if you will, so that she now can be an entrepreneur, you know, and I'm
a woman too.
A woman entrepreneur. I'm a white woman. I'm a minority, you know, and right, I'm like, but you're looking at another girl. This is our subsect. This is a potential entrepreneur. That's literally, like you said, the basis of supply and demand. But a lot of us say, oh, you can't do it. You don't have a permit. From what I've been seeing about you, you don't fully have your permits either.
Absolutely.
And she's been losing, and I say this all the time, this world is not black and white, it's green. Under the guise that it's a race thing, because the thing is, no one truly cares in this country until money is involved.
Yeah.
Roseanne is on an apology tour from hell because now her coins are affected.
Right.
The same thing with this woman. We already know. I didn't know, and all this other crap is about to come out because she's losing sponsorship and investors for her dispensary. Or people saying, you know what, we don't want to be associated. Oh, I was like.
Very good.
Also, the little girl just got 4 tickets to Disneyland from someone who was like.
Here, sis.
I'm sorry, you know? But I think it's a really horrible fact that, or reality, like you said, we are not allowed to be empowered or to exercise, you know, that sense of, like, entrepreneurial spirit, which is supposed to be the basis of America.
Right.
But then turn around and also, because 10 years from now, is she, you know, is a teenager or whatever, oh, well, that's why don't you people work for anything?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, first off, we do. And second of all, I remember Rosewood, Florida, and that massacre that happened. I remember the burning down of Black Wall Street. Don't talk to me about us not working. We do it, but even then, you all don't allow us to for whatever your racist, bigoted reasons are.
Right. On Netflix, David Letterman has a show called My Next Guest Needs an Introduction.
And I love his new Unabomber look, but yes, go.
And he had Jay-Z, and Dave Letterman was like, yeah, I had a paper route. And then Jay-Z was like, I did too. And then he goes in to talk about like how he, you know, used to, you know, sell dope. And he was like, yeah, that's my paper route. And it was just so matter-of-factly. And I think that we now, full transparency, crack, and that was introduced to the hood was probably what caused the demise of the Black community. So I'm not saying that that was something that should continue. However, what I will say is that for so long, we've been businessmen and entrepreneurs. And just like it pains me. I was in LA last month and went to a dispensary. And it just pained me to know that so many Black men on the South Side of Chicago are incarcerated when you have these white kids in the Bay Area or in SoCal. Cash money. And I do appreciate people that are vocal about using this as a mode of reparations. I know Cynthia Nixon is running for governor in New York. One of my supporters, he founded GTI, which is one of the most popular and fast growing medical cultivation plants in the country. And he's here in Chicago, and his company is about to go public. So you have people that are making money, and also he's very intentional about using this as a mode of reparations and, being able to level the playing field on that, but it's not enough of that, and we need to be at the forefront of that. And what I will say on this marijuana thing, because it is something that's very important to me, is in this month's issue of Ebony, it features 5 Black women who are they've started different companies around the legal sale of marijuana.
I think like the youngest dispensary owner She's a, it's a black woman.
I didn't read the full article.
I did hear a story yeah. about that. Like, she opened, I'm like, yes, at 23. I'm
exactly.
like,
oh, and they've gotten really, they've done a good job. Like, they featured this one, it was two women, and they would, they organize around marijuana. Mm-hmm. So doing more education and outreach, which is super important in the black community, because we're so averse to drugs being present in our community because we see what it's done. However, this particular drug is very unique in that it's become like acceptable, mm-hmm. and people are making money over it. And so that piece is very important to incorporate, the education piece, so that our communities can understand the power of the dollar and what's possible with this control substance. But yeah,
I agree. And I think this is definitely a story that can just continue to go on in so many different areas, mm-hmm. even though, like, I'm looking at her little raggedy mm-hmm. self, like, ugh, mm-hmm. that's why your edge is dry and lackluster now. But when I holistically look at it, it does open up another discussion in terms of, like, okay, how can we now empower ourselves on an economic scale? And then I think what you mentioned is key. We have to have outreach and understanding of it.
Yep.
And that's the bigger thing, because, of course, we all have an uncle or auntie or cousin that, you know, in the 90s or whatever was either always in and out of jail, or was just like, don't keep, you yep. know, they can't be in a house without no one there because they're going to stay. You know, we mm-hmm. have the story, you know, yeah. so when everyone has that story, you start to see the statistics of what, like, crack or what a harder substance did do to a community. Yep. So I see why everybody on edge.
Of course, of course. But that's actually one of my platforms for my campaign is economic empowerment. And so I went door to door and just talking yesterday, and I was talking to residents, and they're talking about, yeah, my insurance is going up and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, my mind is turning, like, I'm thinking, how can we decrease their insurance? Can we do it by census block their premium such that they can free up some money that can go to, you know, contributing to this new kickstartup that someone in the community is doing or something like that? So it's very important that, you know, we have people like you who are in the communication space to start mm-hmm. sharing these ideas, but then we have people like me who are in the elected political space and people on the ground to kind of create some synergies to have those conversations about how do we circulate more dollars, create more unique opportunities for us to be economically empowered.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that, because that's truly the whole point of my platform. Yep. Like, I want to give people, especially millennials, centennials, like, the opportunity to, like, tell us what's going on so that anyone who's listening can connect, you know?
Right.
And that is an excellent segue then uh-huh. into what I like to call spotlight time. Actually, I also like to call it, so I have a question, but I can't decide which one I like most.
Okay.
Everyone who knows me on any platform knows I'm low end till I die. And okay. so every time I see you, I'm like, yes. You better be repping.
It's
English.
All the South Side. Okay?
I know. And
so,
no,
we
and
all cousins.
I'm not Swiss. Like, I love. She's West Englewood. You're Englewood. I'm like, there's okay. like a little triangle that's going on
okay.
here. But I love the fact how hard you rep Englewood, or, you know, where it is that you came from, because mm-hmm. You can see the passion and the fact of, like, you do gentrification. Like, with you at the helm, gentrification ain't something that's just gonna blindly happen. Now you look up and, like, everyone's gone, you know? Mm-hmm. So in terms of your passion, where does that stem from? Why are you just so committed to this community?
It's a conviction, because, you know what happens when you go to Beasley, you go to Whitney Young, Kenwood, Morgan Park, wherever else. And then it's funny, I met this guy, he went to Beasley, and then he ended up going to, like, Bronzeville something. And I was like, how did you end up going there? Like, you're not supposed to go there. Like,
you have four
they
choices.
They got four choices.
I remember people used to look at Jones. Before Jones yeah, got, like, this poppin', revamp. Right. Of like, because I went to Peyton, and that's because it was the new one.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like, there was no, like,
yeah.
options.
Right.
You're on a track
you're
from Beasley.
You're on the track. So, like, you know, I was on the track. Beasley, Whitney Young, Michigan, National Lewis, Penn, like, from 63rd and Green, 65th and Green, knowing that wasn't the case for all the kids in my community. One instance in particular, this is this little boy. I'm a couple years older than him, and we used to walk to the bus. Because, mm-hmm. You know, after a while, they stopped dropping you off at your house because they started limiting the number of buses to schools because of resegregation. But that's another conversation.
Girl.
And then I graduated from Beasley and then went away and then went to Whittier and then went away to school and come home on breaks and see him on the corner. And it was like, okay, we went to Beasley together. That was cool. But then you went to some other school and that changed your whole entire life trajectory. Now he like mobbing on the corner. Like that's his spot. And it's actually a gang border at the end of our block. So when I see how that could have been me, although like we had, there's other factors at play. It's not just school. It's about family. It's about, you know, we lived in a building that my grandmother owned. So that was obviously a lesson that I learned about just being, owning your finances, just all those different lessons, those middle class values, as they say, quote unquote, right? I was fortunate to have that and always be grounded in the community and just having this innate desire to want to give of myself to others, something that wasn't just going to benefit me. And so that's how I decided what my major was, decided to go into the classroom. It was important to me that I, being a successful Chicago Public School graduate, would in turn become a Chicago Public School teacher and be a testament to my students every day. Like, this is possible, and this is just me fresh out of college. There's mm-hmm. going to be more to this story. So that's where my passion comes from. My grandmother is very compassionate as well. My family is very giving. That's just the energy that we have. And so having this light in me and being able to shine that in the place of darkness and hopelessness that's in the community is what I'm called to do. And that's how we're here today. I could try to do something else, but it just won't work.
That's your way to describe your passion for our people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know my responsibility is to celebrate blackness and to educate as many people, black and non-black, as to why we are so dope.
Right.
You know, and the way I manifest that is through, like you said, communications. You have the same passion, the same love, the same desire. The way you interpret manifesting that is through your involvement to mm-hmm. actively bring people together to keep, you know, the community flourishing and business and education and to bring that to the forefront. So,
and most importantly, like when you've been to the Ivy League and you've been here, where'd you go to undergrad?
I stayed here.
Yeah,
I went to USC and I graduated from Roosevelt.
But
so
you
it was...
see the level of affluence.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Because you were downtown every day mm-hmm. at Roosevelt, like. On the mile, like, you see what there else is better, and you're like, no, this needs to come here.
Exactly.
And so it's funny, that's why I had, one of the reasons why I had my campaign launch at my home on 65th and Green, because, you know, I have a very mixed, diverse group of people that probably have never, or maybe very so often, come south of Roosevelt.
That's the south
or
side.
Or Cermak. I was like, y'all gonna come to 65th and Green. And y'all gonna see what's good. And the awful part about it is during my speech, they actually started shooting outside, which doesn't happen. Like, I never hear that happen when I'm home. So that was really weird, but
taste of reality.
But that exactly is just like, look, this is what real life is like. This is why this needs to be a citywide effort. It's not just us on the South Side clamoring and trying to move forward, but we need support from across the city.
We do. And that's something that I found myself doing this yesterday, and I never had to do it, I should say. I was heading downtown, but I was like on 49th and King Drive. And I was just like taking it all in. I was like, oh, I could walk to where I had to go. And I noticed like the bikers, like the bike lane has always been on Grand Boulevard or on King Drive. But what I noticed is they were all white. And I remember, like, it got to a point I actively was counting them. I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, whenever I see someone, whether it's on, like, the Green Line at 51st Street, because with Chicago being segregated, we all know.
When you're on the Red Line and it's beyond 47th Street, you'd be like.
Did you miss your stop? Right.
Roosevelt was three stops ago.
Or you get, because I'm like, you know, Bridgeport is 35th. So I'm like, I want to make sure you know where you're going. Like, kind of, I don't care, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
And so I found myself doing that, and it made me think of, like, It's really happening. Like, oh, yeah. We're no longer this little, like, all cover undesirable. I know the day I see a Starbucks, y'all are going to have to call and check on me in Bronze, because I'm just going to be like, it happened.
I'm surprised it isn't. Well, you got 35th and State 35th Street.
35th and State. But see, also, everyone got super scared because tragically, when that woman got caught in that crossfire, I think that also was a sobering reality of, like, this boop isn't, you know, Lincoln Park Starbucks. But in terms of gentrification, like, what are ways that, especially with the involvement that you're, or the role that you would like to take as alderman, we're going to claim it as it's the future here. Alderman. It's here. Okay. What is the role that you will be taking so that everyone within this new Inglewood, it's a place of unity and not a place of, because I don't understand this community and I just moved into it because it's a good property value look.
Well, my ward that I'm covering, it encompasses 5 different communities. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is in Woodlawn and Washington Park, and then it goes to a bit of Inglewood and then back of the yards area. So a lot of what's happening, this what you're speaking of, is already, it's sold up for the most part. Last year, I was looking for homes to purchase in the ward, and a house that was going for $185 is now at $465 or something like that in the span of a year. And in 2016, when the Obama Center announced that they would be in Jackson Park, property values rose 38% within about like 6 to 9 months. So those things are already happening in that part of the community of the ward. When you look at like Inglewood, for instance, Inglewood is still very open, it's vast, and it has a lot of space available, but people are already buying it up. You have people that are very, with a lot of cash, not just credit, but they have cash. They have been buying parcels and parcels of land. What the bank does oftentimes is they will, particularly since the bottom dropped out during the recession in 08 and 07, they would package their different parcels and sell them to investors domestic and abroad. So you have, if you look online to see what a mailing address is for a vacant lot, you'll get a mailing address for Abu Dhabi. So real talk. That's already happening. The sale of the land is already happening, which means that those people will have most often full discretion of what happens there, right? The best way to mitigate that is to identify what are some innovative revenue streams that can be pulled and incorporated such that we can circulate new dollars that go to small business development or anything of the sort. If we're trying to revamp what was once a social community space, revamp it so that it can be a family center during the day for entertainment in the evening, something like those are the type of things that I'm thinking about so that they can benefit local residents. Mm-hmm. So we, along the 63rd Street corridor on 63rd and Cottage Grove, that's part of my ward, we have Daly's that's across the street. It's moving, yes, to the north side. So there's questions north side of the street.
I was about to say, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I thought it was going.
No, okay. It's moving across the street. So then you have other flagship institutions that will be building on there. So there needs to be specific space allotted for small businesses. If so-and-so on 65th and Kimbark has a successful catering business that, mm-hmm, has its performer and, you know, has been generating revenue for X number of years, they need to get opportunity to move into that spot.
Right.
Also thinking about how can we tax vacant property and zombie establishments that can again generate revenue too.
Let me just stop you really quickly because it's quite clear, like, obviously you know your stuff when it comes to zoning and parcel, like, you're bringing up things to me that I'm just like, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of that, the mailing address can for empty lots, because we've always seen it's just the abandoned buildings. That's just, you know, the place all the D-boys like either stash
or the little girl was found there,
or right, or it's like hiding places for murders. Like we never think about it in a sense from a business aspect. Mm-hmm. So when I look at that, it's like, how do you even begin to start to educate yourself? Is it a matter of just going to community meetings? Is it a matter of like reading up on the different zones in the city? Like, yeah, what would be a good jumping place for people who want to get to the level of basically understanding that you have?
Yeah, so my understanding came from the work that I've done when I was working at Teamwork Inglewood. I developed this process by which we had a committee of experts from as it relates to like real estate, housing, developers, to key in on different developments that the alderman would bring to see if it was appropriate for the community. Mm-hmm. And from that process, I had to learn really quickly. I had to learn the process from the ordinance online at cityofchicago.org, and then I had to look at what other wards were doing and learn in that way. And then that opens up a why. I'm a scholar at heart, so I love to learn. So I'm going to search all these other different things that are relevant to this. For other people, if they want to do it, I mean, there's, I can't think of the site, but there's so many opportunities online that you can get an online certificate, or it's pretty much like the curriculum and different links together where you can learn all this stuff. One of my favorite places in the city is Harold Washington Library.
I love that building.
Because there's such a wealth of information there, and the librarians love to help and support you. So if you just say, I want to learn about X, Y, and Z, and then they will bring you so many resources, books, links, all this stuff. So if any person who wants to learn that stuff, go for that. Also in Inglewood, this is another to your other questions, like that's not happening. There's a line of residents in Inglewood as well as Woodlawn that are very active, very aware, and very cognizant and very vocal about what's happening in their community. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, hello, like some of my constituents, they're like, Nicole, when you win, it's going to be the worst job because I'm going to be at your head every day. I'm like, okay, but let's go.
That's accountability. The community, so you don't become laxed or comfortable. And that's the thing. A lot of times, especially when I see Chicago politics, and that is what drives me out my damn mind, it's this entitlement because I've been clerk or whatever, first judge of this, you know, ward, or not ward, but of this area for 20, 30 plus years. It's like this expectancy, the fact that like I can just do the bare minimum. I'm like, not only is the community changing, the city is changing, the world we live in is changing. Like you have to actively still find ways to inspire yourself to care. And if you get to a point that you can't do that, you need to let the job go.
Mm.
Which never seems to happen. And that's the thing. It's like I see too many cases of it. The old vanguard. I'm like, you just are here because that's the name that is familiar when the ballot is pressed. It's like, or either someone doesn't recognize, you know, who a fill-in option is or who other options were, period. So you're just like, fine, I'm just arbitrarily, Danny Davis, or sure, I'm gonna go for just whoever. And I'm like, start educating yourself. And that's a big thing that you said. You go to the library, you do the research, you have to be willing to put in the effort because everyone else is doing it and capitalizing off our communities.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, either we are going to continue to give away our gold, or we're going to actively start to do something on our own to bring it back to each other.
And that goes to the point I think you mentioned about, I may be jumping ahead, but just what our role as being educated Black leaders is, we need to be doing the educating. We need to be present. That means volunteering and mentoring from the YMCA or iMentor or whatever the group is, the little kid who you always see. Just ask him about his day, and you're going to keep doing it, and then he's going to be like, so look what I did today, because he's going to be thinking about that. A lot of us are in these communities still. We're very quiet, but we're present, and we need to step out and be present, absolutely, with the young people, and And I know for a lot of, I was thinking about this other day. I was thinking about how a lot of my Black male friends, they don't live in the hood anymore. And I understand, because it's like, if they are there, the likelihood of them getting hurt goes up. So I get that for them, at least oftentimes, it's not just me escaping and I got the money to do so, but it's like, it's survival.
You still are a target.
Always.
And I mean, we can talk about like the bigger systematic reasons of how it became this way, but the fact of the matter is, if I know you got it and I want it, I'm gonna try and get it. Like, that is fundamental to it. Like, that's what it is. I remember living on 63rd in Dorchester with my cousin, and then literally hearing sirens, and the next morning, Rajoy's son was dead, you know? So I'm just like,
yep.
It doesn't matter. Like, no one is sitting here talking about, like, the principles or, you know, the economic devastation that's happened to the community when someone got a barrel at your head. Like, that's there. So I completely get it. It's not just all escapism. But I did want to know, because you have such, you have to be more conscious of your image. You have to, and the fact that you will be representing a large collective of people, many different people from walks of life. What are some things that you find that you still could, like, let your dress down, have a little moment? I know you have your own house, so I'm pretty sure, like, it's like, everyone come here to me. But what are some ways in which, like, you still are able to balance being your authentic self with the fact that you are, girl, you're pretty much stepping into public life. Like, it's about to happen.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That hasn't hit me yet, but I was telling someone last night, like, I have to catch up to that, because Memorial Day weekend, I was out here and my mom said, you can't do that anymore. This is your last year. And I told my girls, I was like, we can't be here next year. We have to go somewhere else to celebrate, because I can't be out here like that. And they know, they know it too. My girl is like, she you know, the phone, and she's just like, this is for the archives. Because, you know, we can't share that, because they're very protective of my image too. Like, even one of my guy friends last summer, I was at Reverie, and, you know, I don't go there often. I probably go there 2 or 3 times a year. So I was there present, fully present and prepared. And he was like, Nicole, you can't do that anymore.
I have said 2 cuss words today. Like, I literally have been thinking. Do you know how hard
it's
it is?
Very
like,
hard.
I have been thinking. I'm like, class it up, Joy.
Yeah.
She's going places. Don't be like B96 trying to talk to Obama. That's not how that works. So I'm like, I'm trying to like tuck it in.
Yeah, it's tough though. But I mean, it's part of the process. And I think my authentic self, like I said, is my girls. Mm-hmm. My sister and I have been getting a lot closer. So that's
Beyonce.
Beyonce. Like, I live through her. So, like, the day of the concert, I will be putting on my onesie.
Six and cheers.
They're going to be out here. So, but just those little opportunities. But, I mean, like, when I weigh, I have too much to lose. And I'm just like, it's just a day. It's not worth it.
And I want to emphasize something. There's a difference that in no way, just because you have a public image, is in no way saying that you are fake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people really need to understand.
Yeah.
The difference. A public image means is more so when you have to be, you're offering yourself up on any platform, whether it is social media, politics, entertainment, whatever. When we offer ourselves up, we are offering also for the positive and the negative of the criticism of society, which is different if you just want to thought and bop and live your life in private sector. So if you make that decision, you then become more conscious of representing all those different aspects of life, you know, and it is a fine line to walk, but that in no way means like, oh, she fake out here because I just saw her dancing to, you know, at Grits and Biscuits 2 years ago.
Right.
Yes, because I love Grits and Biscuits.
Yeah.
Like, the food and the party. Like, what's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, and I think you said offer yourself up, and, you know, me being a good Christian, you know, we offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice to God's work and to be Christ representers. And so even with that, there's a sacrifice in that. And this process has blown my mind in so many ways. And just in that part of you saying you're offering yourself up, like, I am not my own anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the work. I'm doing God's work. I'm here on purpose, and I'm doing this for other people. So it's like, you get out the way. So that stuff, when I weigh it, is it really important for me to be able to you know, shake it up and roll it this weekend. Probably not, right? It's not the end of the world. I can do that at home, or I can just, you know, call the girls over and we can, you know, do it at the crib. Or not do it at all. Like, it's really not that, I'm not that pressed to do it. I think, too, we have to think about, you know, how did Michelle Obama become who she is today? She had to go through a lot. Mm-hmm. And this even means your interactions with people, not just out here, like, you know, being out here, like Black girls out here, how we enjoy ourselves. But it means how you interact with your colleagues, if you mm-hmm. have interactions that are altercations that are not positive, that are conflicts. I've had a number of those in my previous post and had to really think about, you know, that's cool because that's going to come back on another way. I don't even have to do that. So you really have to be mature in your thinking about how you handle even the most minute and grandiose of conflicts too, as your public image, because
everything's connected.
That email's gonna come back if you don't say it the right way. That conversation's gonna pop up, that screen, that's gonna become a screenshot. Like, I think about that even with my friends too, just like, not even because I think you're scheming, but it's just like, I don't even want that to be part of any record of anyone's mind, right, that I said something or I felt that way or expressed that.
I saw you do that earlier this week. You had expressed a thought about, I guess, a lot of advisory boards are losing, especially in Black foundations, are losing like the women that were a part of it. And I don't think the person said it with malice, but they were just like, oh, well, what was the reason for it? And you were just like, so back to the fact that it happened. I was like, yes. I was like, I understood their perspective, but looking, I understood where you were coming from too. It's just a matter of like, we just need to answer the question of like, how do we stop it?
Right.
That was the only point right. that you were making.
I'm not getting messy. I'm not saying nothing. And those
girl, that's what group me is for. If you wanted to know, like, we could have went to Soleil and sat in the corner somewhere and been like, okay, so what happened?
Right,
but
yeah,
that's a completely, I see the point.
It's so funny. People be watching, but they don't say nothing. It's so funny. Like, people be like looking real intently, and then we'll bring it up in conversations, but we'll never like engage with the posts and stuff.
I think for me, it's a matter of not engaging. And I know I'm a very vocal, I can only speak for myself. I read things very incorrectly. So you know how you say like those situations, those arguments or right. whatever. So that's my own protection to take myself out of space, because someone could have been like, oh, well, that's not what I meant. And in my head, I just read it. That ain't even what I meant. I'm like, okay, so that's about to be, because I'm about to do the stretch hands and just start typing like Kermit on a typewriter. And it's like, no. So to protect, I've just like, I'll see it and be like, I'll talk to her in person. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that issue with mm-hmm. these random people on social media. But I say all the time, we are in a very voyeuristic generation. Social media has created a generation of voyeurs, not actual interactions with one another. We look at the perception and through filters, but mm-hmm. it's all smoke and mirrors.
It is.
So lastly, you brought up Auntie Michelle. You already know how we feel about her. And I'm just like, so are you out here on your solo, Michelle? Are you more so like, I see Barack, but I'm the senior law partner. He's an intern. Ain't nobody looking at him. Like, is it just more so like, I am focused on getting this 24. When it happens, it happens. Like, are you even dating in this space in your life? And you're just like,
I go on dates. I've been asked out and...
Wait, like, he asked you out?
Yeah.
Wow. Men do... I don't know who you are.
They do.
But good job, Black men.
Thank you.
Still doing that.
They do ask you out and they notice things and they say, I'm going to treat you to a relaxing afternoon. In terms of focus, I'm focused. It's a process.
Right.
I'm a huge stickler for my time. So I had this one situation, this one guy asked me out. And I was en route, like, about to hop in my Uber.
Ooh, this is about
and
to trigger me.
He canceled. He was like, can we rain check it, blah, blah, blah. Of course, I said okay, because I was pissed. And then he responded, so how's your day going? Like, as if we were done. Like, you know my okay was not an okay. You know I'm heated. But I was livid because I had rearranged my day.
No, and that's, me and you are alike in that sense. Like, I can get money back. I can buy some more groceries, but I cannot get my time back.
When I waste time, I really feel like I lost a couple hundred dollars. Like, I literally feel broker. Yes. And so that happened, and I was like, I nipped that in the butt, and I was like, you don't do that. If we have plans, you need to stick them, or you need to have a knife in the side of your in your stomach because you had an emergency. But don't just up and because you miscalculated your time. I take requests for and I spend time. I am trying to make me and my girls had a difficult time of making following up with our plans that we've been making. So that's been actually difficult because we're all over the place. Mm-hmm. I make time. I'm open to it. It has to be something and someone who understands what I have going on
and compliments that
and understands that, like, my ideal would be someone that can bring me food and rub my feet and we can talk about the day or not, but you just know where you are right now in that mm-hmm. today and being confident with that. It's so hard to find men that are confident because I'm better than you and I need us to be okay with that.
There's a difference between bravado and confidence. Ego does not equate confidence. And tragically, what I find with so many Black men, they think that their ego is their confidence. And I'm like, your confidence is that intangible when everything else is taken away. Your ego is more so what I find things that feed into it. Like, women can boost your ego. Having money can boost your ego. Being an athlete and successful can boost.
That's huge. I like that.
But I'm like, your confidence is, if I lose all of that, am I still able to hold my head up high? And I see, especially in, like, this influencer crowd, so many people, I'm like, if you did not have on them raggedy Yeezy slides looking like Swaparama from 2006, you would be crushed. Yeah. And everybody knows
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But lastly, I just have to wrap this up. I know we are two Southsiders. On record, I'm never going to rep Uncle Remus, but I have to admit, I have had the mild sauce. And I was like, fine, Miss Charmaine, it is good. But Uncle Remus or Harold's?
Harold's.
Yes, and I'm which one specifically?
That. 63rd and Carpenter. That's where I grew up at. So
okay,
that's right there.
The best one in my mind forever will be the one that got tore down. It was the one in between Calumet and Prairie on 51st Street. So it was like right there next to Red.
Oh, really?
Girl, that's been when I drove and I saw it, I got out. I cried like something like, bro. I was like, how did this happen?
That.
Yeah, they tore that one down years ago.
Yeah, mine is right there. And then I just started going to 87th Street because I started listening to the hype and everybody was like, 87th Street. So I literally just started going there a year ago. But it's been that one. But my second one, I grew up on the one on 103rd and Halsted because that was by my granny house. She lived out in 100. So that's where she was. So we used to go. That is so nostalgic. Like, it's the smell of mild sauce and my granddad's tobacco and cigars. Those are the smells of my childhood, mild sauce and tobacco and cigars.
For my non-Chicago listeners, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the most ultimate question for Black Chicagoans. It's like, no, Uncle Remus or Harold's.
Yeah.
Stake your sides now. Because that just tells me everything I need to know about you as a person.
Yeah.
But from the bottom of my heart, love, thank you so much for coming on to the Yay. Show, for being open and honest. Yes. I hope I didn't make you uncomfortable or make you go like, girl, we did not talk about any of these questions. So I'm glad that you had such a good time here, and I'm so happy.
Thank you for having me.
I totally will be supporting you in any way that I can help. Definitely will be looking on social media and being actively present by responding or saying something. So I'm not just looking. But thank you, love, for coming on.
Yeah, you all should follow me, Nicole J. Shy, across all the social media, and NicoleJShy.com. That's NicoleJShy.com.
Yes. I just had an alderman on my show. I'm so legit, y'all. Okay. Well, well, well. Look who decided to finally bring herself to Chicago. Summer is here, guys. Mother Nature finally decided to let all of us see sunlight, and I am here for it. So best believe I'm going to be at somebody's kickback all June, July, August, and possibly a little bit of September. You know that first month always be popping with some Cavassier VSOP, the only drink that is worth drinking for summertime to get it in. I hope you're doing the same, and let's get it back with Joy Has Questions. So for my motivational message, I feel like today I have been a bouncing ball of sunshine. I feel like I have been joy literally on 2,050 milligrams. Like, I've just been extra as fuck. And the reason for that, why I'm so excited, is because yesterday I had the opportunity to speak a live show, guys. I'm so happy. But I had the opportunity to speak at You Had Me at Black, their first ever Chicago show, along with three other amazing storytellers. Shout out to them. Shout out to the whole You Had Me at Black team. Martina, my coach Johanna, who basically really just Miles, who made me feel so comfortable to tell this really personal story. But I remember sitting there on the couch waiting to go up, and I was just... I'm used to getting over my nerves and being able to speak in public. Everyone knows, like, oh, Joy, she's witty, she's funny. You know, her leave out is always blending with her sewing. It's like, fine, I know what I'm known for. But what is really different is when you are about to say something that is from a place of vulnerability, right? I remember just sitting there, and out of nowhere, this thought just popped in my head. The other side of fear is freedom. And it's not me trying to be like, oh, Joy, you're so deep. No, I literally sat there and thought about that. I'm like, I have to do this because if I don't rise to the occasion, I'm not going to free up my spirit and free up my past pain and turn it into something that is a positive experience. So the reason why I am bringing that up now is because in a room full of strangers, I got up and told this really personal story. Didn't do it for accolades. I didn't do it for follows. I didn't do it so people could be like, oh my God, girl, your dress is so cute. I really liked your outfit. I did it because for Joy Has Questions to be respected and for me to be happy with my fucking self, I have to confront head on the things that have tried to break me and the things that have tried to tear me down. I've done it with therapy. I've also done it with prayer. I've also done it with energy and just making sure that I have people around me, my tribe, who support me. So in every three, I've done it, you know, in terms of also shedding and getting rid of things or people who did not benefit me. But I say that because it is so important that before you branch off and just start saying, hey, I want to be this or hey, I want to be that, you have to make sure that you're good within, and you have to make sure that you are okay to confront the things that you don't like about yourself, the things that scare you, the things that hurt you, and the things that have tried to tear you apart. Because just like there is freedom found on the other side of fear, there is pain found at the beginning of any process that can possibly lead to positivity. You want to be snatched and don't have money nor the time to wait over a year and a half for Dr. Miami? Don't ask me how I know how long his wait list is. Just kidding. You might have to do some crunches. And you know what? Sit-ups fucking hurt. Working out is painful. You want to sit here and know the process to make diamonds? I'm not going to be a super nerd girl today and go into it. But it's extreme pressure that forms diamonds. Anything that happens that turns out to be beautiful or intangible comes from sometimes a place of pain. And that's just what the fuck it is. And you have to look at yourself and say, you know what? Am I going to man up? And am I going to woman up? And am I going to deal with this situation and stop letting it take advantage of me or keep me in this space? Because what you will wind up doing is being someone who is on social media or who is, you know, in front of your friends, a fucking facade, feeling like you are losing your shit on the inside, but not knowing what you can do to possibly make it better on the outside. And it's just a matter of if you take that first step to acknowledge the things that have hurt you, the things that have scared you, the things that have made you feel less than, the things that you played a part in, and have that accountability. The feeling on the other side, I feel like colors have been brighter today. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like truly a little bit lighter. And that says a lot because my ass has been smashing tacos for the past couple of weeks, because I know I'm not physically lighter, but that's okay because I'm the shit and I am going to work on that too as well when I feel like it. I just really want everyone to be encouraged going into this week to really take on and tackle the things that scare you. And let's not even make it plural. Take on one thing that scares you. I don't care if it is sitting there. You could have a good, I don't care if it's a relationship with a parent, a sibling, a friend, whatever. You may think you've gotten past something, but if it keeps going over and over in your head, talk to them about it. Because if they truly love you, they will listen. And even if they don't listen, you can't control how they respond to you. But what you can control is your own peace of mind and your own happiness and your own freedom. So, a little bit longer than normal, but I just wanted to get that off my chest. I hope everyone has an amazing week. I'm going to be actually out of town in the Seattle and Portland area this week, so I cannot wait to see what those states are like. I have heard they are not really black, so I'm going to try and find all 6 to 10 people that live in the area and then go from there and see what's popping. But I want everyone to just celebrate and have a good time, and I will see you all next week for Joy Has Questions. Bye, loves.